Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Church of Christ was born, and the Spirit lived the Amen. Come on, praise the Lord this morning. Sing that chorus with us. Praise the Father. Praise the Son. Praise the Spirit. Three in one. God of glory, majesty. Praise forever to the King of Kings.
Father God, we praise the King of Kings. We praise the name of Jesus. It's the only name worth repeating this morning. It's the only name worth singing about this morning. He is the only one who can fix whatever problem comes our way. He's the only one who sustained us by giving our breath to start today, our heartbeat that we receive right this moment. He is the one who makes all things new when we have failed. He is the one who brings freedom when we are in bondage. He is the one who releases the chains. When we find ourselves as people who are suffering and who are going through struggles, Father, you are the one who gives grace for the moment. May we praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. But we magnify the name of Jesus right now. We sing praise to the King, praise to the King, praise to the King, praise to the King. We lift up who you are. May this hour be yours and yours alone. Help us focus our attention on you. Help us put our mind's affection on you. Lord, help us put our problems at your feet. We can't ignore that they don't exist in this moment, but we can surely give them to you. Lord, help us put our successes, lay them as crowns at your feet. We can walk in our own accomplishments, but the reality is nothing good in our life came except from you. So thank you for that. God, we love you. We praise you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Sit down if you can, friends. And we're so glad you've come to worship with us. Welcome to our service. So excited for the opportunity to sing together and open God's word. Let me take just a moment to say, if you're a guest in the room, thank you for being here. Would you take a moment to let us know by scanning the QR code on the back of the seat in front of you or tearing off the worship registration you received on the way in and fill it out and place it in the offering box a little later. If you're participating online, I hope you're blessed and will sing right along with us. We'll grab your Bible and read right along with us. And there's information on the screen if you'll follow those prompts right now to let us know that you're there. We're praying for this week. Our church of the week is Douglas First Baptist Church. Their pastor is Chuck Knight. We love Chuck. We appreciate him. He's an active member of our community and serves faithfully in our community, but also is pastoring in Douglas. Let's pray for them. Pray for God to move in power. Pray for revival to take place among their faith family. And then our missionary of the week, this week we are praying for Zoya, who has the orphanage ministry in a country in Central Asia. She's there right now. Her husband is here in the States. You heard about that during the missions conference. Since we're online and on the radio, I'm trying to be careful to not mention the exact country, but I do want to share with you an update from her from actually just a couple of days ago. It says this. This is from her husband. Zoya arrived at one of the orphanages in Central Asia to find, this was 4 days ago, to find that the government had moved the children. They forced them to leave their warm, comfortable facility that they had worked to clean, paint, and improve to an old school building. The new building has no heat in some areas, no bathtubs, no rugs on the concrete floor, no washing machines, not even chairs or couches for the children to sit on. Zoya has worked very hard with little rest to find the things needed as soon as possible. She's now purchased and they have installed already now 4 days later, washing machines, refrigerators, bathtubs, sinks, rugs, beds. Beds are being made. Other things are coming. Enough diapers for the special needs kids to last for 6 weeks and on and on. I simply say, as we pray for her, let me give you some specifics. She's wearing herself out over there. She's there just for a short time and is working day and night. So pray for her health. Pray for her provision. Pray for those children. That is the gospel. So let's pray as we carry on in worship. Father God, we take a moment to pray for Zoya. We pray for wisdom. We pray for direction. We pray that you'll help her find all the supplies and things that she needs as she cares for the special needs children in these different orphanages. Father, that they could hear the name of Jesus and want to follow him because of the gospel and what they see of Jesus in her. God, thank you that though we can't be there, we can hold the rope, we can support, we can lift her arms, we can do all the things that you've called us to do from here. So thank you that we get to be a part of that. We pray for favor for her, even among the government, a place that would be against what they're doing. We pray that you would let them find favor even there. And Father, most of all, we pray for those children that desperately need to hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, save them, move in their lives. Father, we take a moment to pray for Douglas First Baptist. We thank you for Pastor Chuck. We thank you for their ministry. My prayer is that revival would break out there today, that it would begin and stir and move through this season all the way to Resurrection Sunday. God, I pray the same would happen in this place. Let revival begin in this room, in this hour, in this moment, on this platform, in the choir loft here, in the pit for our horn section, in the back, in our tech booth, right on every pew from the back to the front. Let revival begin in each and every one of us. Change us. Don't stir us. We don't just need an emotional frenzy this morning. What we need is the power of the Holy Spirit to light the flame in our hearts and move in power. So we ask that you would do that, Father. Lord, you are worthy of our praise. You are the one who turns graves into gardens. So we sing about that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together as we sing some beautiful songs of praise.
I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. And you came along, put me back together. There will be a day when all will bow before Him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with Peter, died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord.
In every prayer, in every prayer, we pray in desperation. The songs of faith we sang through doubt and fear. But in the end, we'll see it all was worth it when He returns to wipe away our tears. There will be a day when all will bow before Him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with He who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord.
On that day,
and on that day, we'll join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith. And with one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
Amen.
And on that day, the heroes of the faith, with one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Thou hast taught me.
Father God, let it be today we shout the hymn of heaven. Let it be today we celebrate the grace and mercy we find that makes it well in our souls when things might not be well in our reality of life, but it is the reality of our eternal existence that things are well. Your grace is enough. Your mercy is enough. God, if there's anyone in this room that doesn't know you, I pray that today they would see their need for you. And even as we've worshiped you, as they've felt the Holy Spirit moving among us, I pray that they'd be drawn to you and give their life to you. Lord, for others in the room who know you and are living in that in-between moment from the day we were saved to the not yet of eternity, that right now we would be filled with your gospel, the understanding of the good news of salvation and what that means for us today. God, help us. Speak to us now as we open your word. I pray and ask, please, that you'll have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, friends. If you have your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 10. That's in the New Testament. Your Bible, the first two-thirds is the Old Testament. The second, the last third is the New Testament. And Romans is about halfway, a little further through the New Testament there. You'll find chapter 10. And we'll look at that in just a moment. But as we start week two of our series called Good News, I realized when we say the word gospel and we say the word good news that sometimes there's a barrier to understanding what that really means. The gospel is more than just John 3:16, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, and 1 John 1:9, repeat a prayer after me. That is how we share the gospel, part of that, but that's not the gospel. The gospel is the good news of salvation in your life. It's the good news of Jesus in your life, and sometimes our church words and phrases can be hard to understand. Language and cultural barriers can really make for difficult, truthful communications at times. If you don't understand the language exactly, it can be a barrier. And so I want to do my best to help us over the next few weeks really come to understand what gospel living means. It's more than just, I got saved, now I wait and go to heaven. It's what it means for you right now. A little illustration to kick that off that might help is, I was trying to explain to part of my family, we were together in the car, we were headed to eat somewhere, but I was talking about that my very favorite Latino restaurant is La Esquina Cocina, and it's in Gunnersville. I'm not doing an advertisement for them, but might get a free meal. It'd be nice anyway. But I love it. It's upscale. I love it. And so our two girls in our home are 100%. I mean, wonderfully bilingual. They are so fluent in more than one language. And so as I was saying that, you know, guys, we were going somewhere else, but my favorite Mexican restaurant is La Esquina Cocina. And when I said that, they looked at me in horror and confusion. And it took me a second, and they just kind of stared at me and said, What do you mean? And then finally I realized that cocina means kitchen and cochina means dirty room. And so you may not realize it, but the corner kitchen is a much better name for a restaurant than the dirty room on the corner. That doesn't work as well. So we got it figured out and got it worked out. It was all me trying to feel like I knew something and how to say it, and I didn't. And there was a barrier. And I think there are many times when it comes to the idea of the gospel that if we're not careful, we think we've communicated well what we're trying to say to somebody or what we're trying to mean for somebody. But what we'll learn from the scripture today is that good intentions have to be met with good information. It can't just be that we intend for something to be good. It requires good information as well. And sometimes the best of intentions are not supported by the best of information. Let me give you an example in Romans chapter 10. As you look here with me, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Rome. And the church in Rome is made up of some Jewish people who have come to faith in Christ, and Roman citizens who've come to faith in Christ, which would mostly be Greek people, people who are not Jewish. And so in the middle of this letter he writes, he talks about the fact that they are sincere, but they're missing the understanding of who God is. So let me read it to you. Let me just say this, though, to set it up. Jewish people did not have a disdain for God. In fact, they had a zeal for God and wanting to know Yahweh and follow his ways. And they were waiting on the Messiah. What they were confused about was the information that the Messiah had already come. So listen to Paul's words, Romans 10, beginning in verse 1. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them. Who's them? That's Israel. That's the Jewish people. My prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. In other words, they have a passion and a desire to know God, but they don't have the knowledge to understand it right now. Then verse 3, for being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Then verse 4 is a key verse. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So zeal for God does not equal knowing God. And there are so many people in this world today, and this is 2,000 years after this was written, there are people in your life and in my life and in our community and in our state, in our nation, in our world, there are people who believe in God, but truthfully, they may believe in a God who doesn't really exist. Think about it. Some people believe in a good works God. I've got to work for it. If I'll do good, if I'll make this gift, if I'll do this for somebody, that's God's going to count that good towards me, and that's how I get to heaven. That's not reality. That God does not exist. Some would say this. They might believe in the Disney movie God. You know the idea. Follow your heart. If you dream it, you will achieve it. It's all the good things that end in the Disney movie. The truth is, that's not what God's about either. It's not just your conscience being your God. There's no inner God to do that. It is God at work in you. How about this? This is one that I hate with a passion. Their understanding of God is he's the big man upstairs kind of God. He's your buddy. He's your pal. You need something, you ask him for it. Friends, hear me say, God is not the big man upstairs. He is the creator of the universe. He is the holy, righteous one who deserves every bit of honor and praise we should give him. That's who he is. Then there are those, a lot of people, I choose my own God. I want him to be this. We pattern him after what we want. When the reality is every one of those can be people who are sincere, but be sincerely wrong. Our belief in God must be backed by the foundation and the knowledge of who God is, the one true God, and his character. Verse 4 is the gospel verse. It's the good news verse. Look at it again. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Jesus is the end. What does that mean? That idea of the end, if you look it up in the Greek, it's going to give you three options. It'll say he's the purpose. He's the goal. He's the fulfillment. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. Jesus is the purpose of the law. Jesus is the goal of the law. He is the end of the law of righteousness. So it's important that we understand there is no gospel apart from Jesus, and Jesus is the answer to anything that's going on in your life. He's the answer to anything that's going on in anyone you know in their life as well. We are surrounded by some people who have a zeal maybe for trying to learn some spiritual things, but they've not met the true Jesus. Our world's full of those. Let's keep going. Verse 5, Romans 10, 5. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, but the person who does the commandments shall live by them. Now, how many of us have broken the law? All of us. One of the laws of God. So we're in trouble. Look at verse 6. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down. Verse 7, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we proclaim. Verse 9, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen? Love that verse. Verse 10, with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jews, who he was talking about, and Greeks who were reading this. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. Look at verse 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is what God does. So here is the truth. Everyone who calls on the name of Jesus can be saved. We don't have to add our own ideas of how that happens. The scripture is clear. We call on him in his grace and in his mercy, he saves us. Now look at verse 14 and 15, because here's the key of where we're going to be. Romans 10:14, the next verse. How then? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how can they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching or teaching or speaking? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. So here's my question. Here's my gospel question today for this good news series. Do you have beautiful feet? The best way to understand what God's telling us to do here is to reverse and start at the end and work your way back, verses 14 and 15. So you kind of reverse those and work your way back. Here's what it says. Christ sends you and me, and we preach, we teach. When we preach and teach, people will hear. When people hear, they have an opportunity to believe. When people believe, they call on Jesus. So we, you and I, have a very integral part to play in God's good news mission. And it is good news. The good news is that Jesus came, that anyone who calls on him can be saved. That's the person, that's the 2 billion people on the planet who've never heard his name. If they call on him, they can be saved. That's the person who lives in your neighborhood, who's been to church 1,000 times in their life, but still hasn't connected that Jesus is the Messiah. If they call on him, they can be saved. That's that estranged son or daughter you've been praying for forever. If they call on him, they can be saved. That's that spouse you've been praying for. If they call on him, they can be saved. But here's an interesting quote that I have loved for years and been convicted by for years. Carl Henry was the founding editor of Christianity Today, and he said this, and it's pretty stinging to me. He says, the gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. Let me say that again. The gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. When Paul wrote Romans 10:15, he was quoting from something that was written 1,000 years earlier by Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 52, listen to this, verse 7, Isaiah says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Now, what's Isaiah talking about? This is way before Jesus came in the flesh. Isaiah is speaking and prophesying about what was about to happen when the Babylonians were going to come in and conquer the area and capture Jerusalem. And then there would be a time later when Jerusalem would be set free. And so he's prophesying how beautiful are the feet of the ones who bring good news of Jerusalem's redemption, of their freedom. So he speaks about that. Then 1,000 years later, Paul says that's more than just about a city. That's about a Savior who came to make us new. So 1,000 years later, Paul uses the phrase to mean this if you're writing things down. Eternal freedom is offered to everyone by God, but we have a part to play in making it available to everyone. Now, let me say that again. Eternal freedom is offered to everyone by God, but we have a part to play in making it available to everyone. I'll give you an example of what I mean. Here in our city, we have a ministry that's a partner ministry of ours. We're so blessed to be connected to Marshall County Christian Services, Second Chance Food Pantry. They use our facility that we own, that we give to them to use on Cahill Road. And it's a wonderful place where many people get to experience the gospel with a hand up and experience the gospel in a way that's helpful to them. Right now, by the way, Marshall Christian Services is struggling. They've lost a number of churches that have had to cut back on their missions giving and benevolence giving because the economy is so tight and things are tight. And so their money's down. They're struggling to, if I'm just being realistic and honest with you, sometimes it's a struggle to pay the power bill. And so what I would say to you, if you've ever considered a gift to them, now's the time to do it, to pray for them that God would provide the resources. They're making a huge difference in our county. Pray that God would provide the resources. Pray that you could help provide the resources. Pray that God would provide the food. You might even help do that as well. But I mentioned them to say this. We'll talk more about that in March. But right now, let me say this to you. If the food pantry is open tomorrow and they have food sitting there ready and available, but there is someone that's on the far reaches of our county in Grant. That's about as far as you can go and still be in Marshall County. And they're on Grant Mountain, and they are destitute. They have a great need for food, and they need the food. And we say, well, all you got to do is get to North Cahill or South Cahill Road in Albertville, and you can have the food. And they say, I don't have a vehicle. and they don't have transportation. They lost their car. They lost that ability to keep that, and they're desperate for food. See, here's the difference. There's something available that's offered. There's something offered to them that's really not available to them. So what would we do? We would find a way to bridge the gap from the offer to what's available. And we might help make that available in a delivery or in a ride or something like that. And what I would say to you is, when it comes to the gospel's offered to everyone, but make no mistake about it, there are 2 billion people on the planet right now that it's not available to them. The spoken gospel, someone to tell them about it. And so it's important to realize that we have a part to play in this mission. And then later, even after Paul is quoting Isaiah, and 1,000 years later Paul quotes it, then in Ephesians, Paul also writes about it in a different way. Listen to what Paul says when he's talking about spiritual warfare. If you've been in church very long, you know the passage about the armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. And in the middle of that, he alludes again to his Romans passage. He alludes again to Isaiah 1,000 years earlier in Ephesians 6:15. He says this, "And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace." Remember, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the gospel, the good news of peace. Isaiah said so. And here Paul is saying, you put on your shoes ready to bring the gospel. It's the good news of peace. It's Jesus. So here we are 2,000 years later, and there are still so many people that have never heard the name of Jesus. That's hard for us to imagine, but it's true. So my question, as we pivot in the message here, is do you and do we have beautiful feet? Don't take your shoes off, leave them on. We're not talking about your real feet. I'm asking, do you have beautiful feet? Are we taking the good news of Jesus to others? Now, you're not surprised to hear me say that. You've heard me talk about that a lot. You've heard other pastors talk about it. There's nothing about that idea that we're supposed to carry the gospel to the world that is surprising to you. But here's what I really believe. We have made that so general a statement that it does not carry much weight. In other words, it looks great on a church mission statement. We exist to proclaim the gospel. That sounds great. We exist that the gospel can be carried around the world. We, for Advance 2025, want to advance the gospel around the world. Listen, as generic as that sounds, don't be offended, but let me ask you the question I want to ask. So what? We can say that, but if we're not careful, it's a church platitude, and it has to be more than that. Let me give you an example of what I mean. If you were to go to Huntsville as soon as church is over, go to the Huntsville International Airport, book yourself a ticket to go anywhere you want to go. You go through security, you go up to the gate, it's time to get on, you get on the plane, you sit down in first class. It's a good story, so everybody can afford first class. So you're in first class, you're sitting there, and then the captain comes on over the speaker, and he says, "I want you to know, I have been called to fly. This is my calling. I am called to fly, and we are going to fly." Sounds like he's preaching a sermon to you, doesn't it? You kind of want to say amen until someone wises up and says, "Pilot, where are we going?" He says, "Everywhere." And you say, "Get me off this plane." I mean, because that didn't make sense. What would make sense to pilot to say, "We are at Huntsville International Airport. We are going to take off and head this direction, and we're going to spend exactly 19 minutes in the air. Then we're going to land at Atlanta Hartsfield International Airport. We're going to land on this runway at this plate, go to this gate. Then you can go wherever you need to go." Now, that's what you put your confidence in, the detail of what he's going to do. Can I say to you and me, if we're not careful, it's real easy to just be generic with, "Let's all share the gospel. Let's help the gospel advance to the world," when I really want to encourage you to take just a moment to be specific, and I want to do so with some questions. But before I ask the question, I need to give you another definition of the gospel. I have four questions for you really quickly, but here's what I want you to know. The gospel is not what I've already said. It's not just John 3:16, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, 1 John 1:9. "Now would you repeat a prayer after me?" That is one of the ways we share the gospel. That's called the Romans Road presentation. It's a way people can repeat it and right after you, and you can share the gospel with them. But the gospel is not just for those who are lost and need to be saved. It is not just for those who do not believe and need to believe. The gospel, the good news of the salvation of Jesus, is to be lived out by every believer every day of your life. It started the day you were saved. You were saved. And now, all these days right here until you go to heaven, you are being saved. Every day, God's grace is at work in you. You're not being saved all over again. You are being saved. It's a continual process of what he's doing. And then there will be a day that you will ultimately be saved. You'll breathe your last breath. Your heart will have its last beat. You will leave this earth and enter eternity. We sang about that today, that let it be today that you shout the hymn of heaven. If you didn't really know what you were singing, if one of you shouts the hymn of heaven today, it's because you've gone there today. So we were singing, God, even let it be today, we celebrate what you've done. So understand that the gospel is not just the old, I got saved that day, now I'm waiting to go to heaven, can't wait, it's going to happen someday, it's going to be great. The gospel is today. So when we preach the gospel, when we share the gospel, we must share the gospel with ourselves every day. You need to wake up preaching the gospel to yourself. What do you mean? This is what I mean. Every answer to any problem you have is Jesus. You say, Chris, you're a pastor, you're supposed to say that. My answer would be a couple $1,000s. No. That might help, but the answer to your problems is Jesus. You say, well, Chris, my answer would be a different health diagnosis. The answer to your problem is Jesus. Chris, my struggle is overwhelming anxiety, and I need medicine. I understand that. That's fine. But also, the answer to your problem, in addition to all the ways that is provided for you, is Jesus. The answer to your trouble, the answer to your joy, the answer to everything, it is him. He is the reason we exist. So the gospel has to be that it is Jesus as the foundation of our lives and him at work in us. And again, he can work through all the circumstances and situations and all the other things. So with that in mind, the next four questions I'm going to ask you are not just about lost people. It's about saved people in your life who need to walk with the Lord again. People who have salvation but maybe are struggling. So here's my questions. Number one, who do you know that needs the good news? Who do you know that doesn't know Jesus that needs to know him? Who do you know that knows Jesus but is struggling to live for him? Who do you know that needs the good news? That's part of our calling. Second, who are you near that needs the good news? Who are you near that needs the good news? That you say, what do you mean? That might be somebody in the four walls of your home. It might be a neighbor. It might be someone you work with. It might be a fellow student. It might be someone you coach ball with. It might be someone you ride in the car with to work every day. I don't know, but who are you near that needs the good news? The third question is this: who is God placing in front of you that needs the good news? Let me give you an example of this. Friday, I had to run to Huntsville really quick in the morning and was gone and was on my way back and had a lot of things to do. I mean, I had a busy rest of the afternoon laid out to ahead of me for what I was going to do to get things ready for what was coming that evening. So on my way back through town, before I got to Albertville, I knew I needed to eat something. And so I thought, I'm not going to stop in Albertville. I always run into people I know, which is fine. And I enjoy that. But I'm going to stop a little further out, eat something so I can eat it real fast and get on back. So I stop at a place that I didn't expect to see anybody I know. And I get out and I walk in and I order my food and I grab it. Then I turn the corner around a line of booths to sit down. And there's someone that's a friend that I know, not from our church, but a friend that I know. And they said, Chris, I'm so glad you're here. I think God sent you here. And so I thought, well, okay. So I sat down with them, and then we began about a 20-minute, 25-minute conversation that, I'll be honest, I didn't have time to have. But a 25-minute conversation that led to us talking about some redemptive things and the gospel, that Jesus was the answer for what was going on in this person's life. Jesus was the answer for what they were sitting here saying, this is what I'm struggling with right now, and I really need some prayer. Or I need some advice. And so Jesus was the answer. We were able to have a redemptive conversation. So who is God putting in front of you that needs the good news? Here's the tempting thing, is to pass that by. It would have been real easy to say, hey, how are you? And just keep on walking and walk on, knowing that this person needed a conversation. Maybe I am the only one in the room who can get so busy and focus-driven that you can lose sight of those around you. Can I share with you a statement that we talk about in our staff from time to time, but it applies to every person in this room? Don't miss it. People do not interrupt your ministry. People are your ministry. Let me say that again. People don't interrupt your ministry. They are your ministry. Jesus is the prime example. What did he do? He walked slowly through the crowd over and over again. He had a mission. He knew where he was going. But all of his ministry seemed to happen along the way with people. So I'm so glad I had enough sense to stop and be present in the moment with someone that needed some encouragement and some direction. Now, who is God placing near you, in front of you, that needs the good news of the gospel? I don't mean that you have to share the Romans Road with them. They need to see what Jesus is doing and how he is at work and how he's the center of their life even. The last question, what place has God put on your heart where people need the good news? Now, that could be any kind of place. That might be that orphanage in Central Asia where you go help Zoya for a week. Maybe God's put that on your heart, and if he has, you better go. Because, friends, if he's laid that on your heart, you got to follow through. Maybe God's calling you to go to Egypt this fall with our team that's going to be encouraging some Christian leaders in a place where they do not receive much encouragement, and we're going to go and do that. Maybe God's calling you to go to Uganda where you're going to minister to children in a children's home or women in an area that are being trained and learned. Whatever the case may be, maybe God's calling you to a place for the good news sake, but maybe it's not just off like that. Maybe the place is your ball team. Maybe the place is the gym. Maybe the place is your workplace. Maybe the place is your neighborhood. Maybe the place is a bedroom down the hall at your house. Who needs Jesus and a gospel influence in your life? What place has he put on your heart, and what will you do with that? So remember, with that being the case and those questions, who do you know that needs the good news? Who are you near that needs the good news? This is lost and saved people. Who is God placing in front of you that need the good news? And what place has he put on your heart? Here's what I would say. Again, don't forget that the daily work of Jesus is what the good news of the gospel is about. And it has so much more meaning than just I get to die and go to heaven. In fact, I would word it this way for you. The good news is you can be who the Bible says you can be. Maybe that's the simplest way to realize it. Instead of trying to use some fancy word like or church word like gospel, and you're trying to figure out what in the world you're supposed to tell somebody, it's you being able to explain that they can be and you yourself can be who the Bible says you can be. Because of Jesus, we can be different. Because of Jesus, we can experience grace. Because of Jesus, we can get through the storm. Because of Jesus, we can suffer and we can learn to be more like him. Everywhere Jesus went, he lived the good news on purpose. He changed people, everyone, every day, everywhere. So who in your life needs to know that they can be all the Bible says they can be? Who in your life needs freedom? Who in your life needs Jesus? If you've not been able to think of somebody, you hadn't been paying attention. We're going to stop here for just a quick second. I'm asking you to actually think of someone in your life who needs the gospel in their life. It can be a saved person who has Jesus as their Savior, but they're struggling because of an addiction. They're struggling because of a condition. They're struggling because of poor choices. They're struggling because of depression. Somebody you know that's off track. It may be an adult son or daughter. It may be a teenager. It may be your spouse. It may be your neighbor. It may be a coworker. It may be yourself. But who do you know that needs the reminder that they can be everything that the Bible and Jesus says they can be because of Jesus in their life? So if you have a person in mind, whether they're lost and need to know him, or whether they're saved and need to be reminded, it goes back to remembering like we talked about last week, be reminded of who he is and what he's doing, and that the gospel is his power of salvation at work today in us. Whoever that is, I'm going to ask you to begin to pray for them today. I'm going to ask you to begin right now. I'm going to ask you to put them at the top of your list and your prayer to be like mine. Lord, help me know how to preach the gospel to, and you fill in the blank. And again, preach is not yell at them. It's not scream at them. Listen, you can love Jesus and you don't have to be mad about it, all right? Anyway, the idea To preach to them is to let your life live it, let your words speak it, and let it point to the good news of him, whatever's going on in their life, how Jesus can be in the middle of that. So if that's you, I want to invite you to pray with me. Would you all bow your heads for just a moment? With heads bowed, you think of that person, if they need salvation or if they just need a reminder of the gospel. Who do you know that needs the good news? Who are you near that needs the good news? Who is God going to place in front of you today or tomorrow or this week who needs the good news? You got to pay attention for those encounters. What place has God put on your heart? Who in your life needs to know they can be all the Bible and Jesus says they can be? Who needs freedom that Jesus offers? With your heads bowed, I want to invite you, if you will, to pray with me. I have three people specifically that I'm praying because I want to be able to share the gospel daily with them. And I don't mean the same verses every day. I mean, I want them to see the good news of who Jesus is and what he's done in my life, in their life. They can't see it yet in their own life, but I want them to. So who do you have? Is it a family member? Is it a friend? Is it a neighbor? A coworker? A fellow student? I don't know. But I'm going to invite you and ask you, if you would, to, in a step of humility, just join me and come and pray for them. Nothing else, just pray for them. Pray that God would give you an opportunity to help the gospel be made known, the good news of the salvation of Jesus, which changes their life daily. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. Would you come and pray for them? We're going to sing an old invitation hymn I grew up singing. It always spoke to me so much. Because I could always, I don't know about you, but when I sing, I'm a visual singer. This may seem weird what I'm about to say, but when I sing, I can see things in my mind. I picture the song. Oh, how many times growing up we sang softly and tenderly, and I pictured in my mind Jesus with an outstretched arm saying, come home. You who are weary, come home. So as we sing, would you come and pray? That God would move in their life, that you could be the one to preach and show the gospel to them. You have other prayer needs, come. We want to pray for one another. May we together make this commitment to live the gospel this week. Father God, I fall into that category of ye who are weary, come home. God, I thank you that every time that's been a place in my life, that you've always been there. To receive me back, to give me comfort, to give me guidance, to give me conviction where it's needed, to give me your power. Oh, thank you that I found this song to be true in my life. God, help us now as we seek to advance the gospel among our friends. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with us?
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.